AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction. And by propane. Propane is the energy for everyone, especially farmers. Environmentally friendly propane can fuel most anything on the farm. See how at propane.com. Okay, grain futures were mostly higher. Bean oil is the exception there, with that market on the short side of some product spreads. Cotton futures mostly higher, but the cattle complex and the lean hog futures worked to the downside. And no, my bracket isn't busted yet, but the Bulldogs and the Cougars didn't do me any favors.
Live from Favorlessburg, USA, via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, it's a conversation with Sam Hudson from Corn Belt Marketing, and then later, a timely conversation with Iowa Senator Joni Ernst. Directly following the news, Oliver Slope from Blue Line Futures. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now, here's the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
And if anybody is curious about how it feels to start the tournament 0-2, I'm here for your counsel. Here for your counsel. Yeah.
0-2.
0-2. Yep. Yeah, Mississippi State, I had Mississippi State over Michigan State. And then, you know, I had BYU over Duquesne, but that didn't work out. Didn't work out so good. Nothing. What was that, a 12-5 or a 13-6? I'm not even sure.
I'm calling it a 14-7 is what I'm calling it. You know, it's just
14, whatever it takes. Oh, excuse me, 11-6. Okay. 11-6.
11-6. Is there a love in there anywhere? 15 love, maybe?
No.
No?
No, none of that. Tournament's on, baby.
Yeah, it's going. It's rolling.
The tournament is on. We've got some great games yet today. Iowa State plays tonight.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that. Big games again, full slate tomorrow before we get into the weekend. So, got to have some fun with it.
You absolutely do. I'm going to have some fun covering for Mr. Brian Grady on my my annual stand-in for the tournament.
Because nobody has more fun with the tournament than one Mr. Brian Grady.
No, and we are happy to open the door wide for him to do that. I just hope I do all the Brian stuff right.
Exactly, because that guy has been doing the tournament right for...
That he has.
Dude, as long as I've known him. Mm-hmm. So this goes back to like 97, 98, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
He's been doing it right. Hope you guys are doing it right as well. Welcome to AgriTalk. Sam Hudson is standing by. We're going to have a conversation with Sam from Corn Belt Marketing. And, of course, Oliver coming up here in just a little bit. All right. You got some market news?
Well, Chip, the daily export sales cancellation the wheat market dealt with last week showed up in the weekly export sales report for the weekend of March 14. Wheat sales were a net reduction of 110,000 metric tons. China canceled purchases of nearly 263,000 metric tons. The Philippines and South Korea also canceled purchases of U.S. wheat.
Jeez.
Those were partially offset by sales of old crop wheat to Japan, Mexico, and Algeria. USDA also reported sales of nearly 286,000 metric tons of U.S. wheat for delivery in the 24-25 marketing year. May soft red winter wheat futures opened mid-range today, posted an inside trading day, and closed just slightly above the opening range. July HRW wheat futures 1¾ higher, 575.5. July SRW wheat up 1¾ to 562. July spring wheat closed at 661.5, up a penny on the day. Oh, a half penny on the day, even.
Penny on the day. Yeah, that net sales reduction of 110,000 metric tons, of course, that was a new low for the marketing year. And it's just some evidence of how tough things are to get wheat sold, but already stretching out and getting some new crop sales in place.
Well, Chip, export sales of corn week ended March 17 totaled nearly 1.19 million metric tons. That was in line with trade expectations. It was also up 10% from the four-week average. Japan easily topped the list of buyers, and more than 545,000 metric tons of corn buys. Mexico, South Korea also on the list. May corn futures opened to steady and near session lows, rallied to spike resistance at last week's high of 445, then fell back to close just below mid-range. May corn futures 1¾ higher, 440¾. July corn up 1¾, 454. December corn futures closed at 476¾, up 2 cents on the day.
There you go. You've got Japan, you've got Mexico, you got South Korea, all value buyers of corn showing up last week when the markets were near the lows.
Well, soybean futures traded solidly higher in the overnight session, then fell back to the opening range during the day session. May soybeans traded to the highest level since February 1 and are working to hold on to modest gains for the week. Export sales of soybeans week-ended March 14 totaled 494,000 metric tons. That was in line with trade expectations and up 86% from the four-week average. China topped the list of bean buyers at just over 304,000 metric tons. Soybean meal helped support bean prices today, with heavy late-season rains in Argentina threatening the quality of the bean crop there. May beans 2.5 cents higher, 12.12. July beans up 2.5 cents to 12.25¾. November beans closed at 12.04¼, up 4 cents, Chip.
Yeah, and July soybean meal today up $2 a ton. July soybean oil was down 17 points.
Well, cotton export sales of 92,600 metric tons were 20% ahead of the four-week average. July cotton up a whole 31 points today. Let's see. Can we
91.
Recheck that number? 91.78. Yeah. Thank you very much. Typo there. On the livestock, beef export sales, 11,000 metric tons, a new low for the marketing year. Heavyweight choice graded boxed beef jumped 104 this morning on slow movement of 49 loads. April live cattle 57.5 higher, 188.37.5. April feeders down 30 cents, 254.62.5. And on the snout side, pork export sales, 33,800 metric tons, 10% ahead of the four-week average. But that could not prevent a fourth consecutive lower close in front month futures. April lean hogs 40 cents lower, 84.90. June contract down $1.32.5 to 90.30. Chip.
All right. What we got here is finally got a settlement in that July cotton, up just 14 points, 92.26 on the settlement.
It got worse.
Yep. Yeah, there you go. All right, let's bring in Oliver Slope, Blue Line Futures. How you doing, Oliver?
I'm doing well, Chip. How about yourself?
Well, I'm okay. How are you doing? You guys have got a legitimate shot at actually winning a game.
Hey, oh, come on. Don't jinx it now.
Yeah, I had to pick them.
Yeah, well, you know, I'll be honest. I got them winning it all in one bracket. And my wife, actually, she knows nothing about basketball. She has Iowa State, so... take it for what it's worth.
Good. Well, you know, Nebraska, I gotta say it, if there's a team out there that just blows me away that they've never won a tournament game, it's
well
Nebraska,
exactly
so
they haven't won a single game ever. Might as well just win them all.
That's right. If you're gonna win one, win them all. Okay, dude, what do you make of the markets here? To start me off in the grains.
No, the grains, you know, we got a nice overnight trade, opened up, really just came out of the gates blazing last night. I think a lot of that was probably just a FOMO trade on the back of yesterday's afternoon trade in the outside markets following the Federal Reserve meeting. And it was just kind of buy everything. Then the dollar kind of strengthened up today, which kind of put a lot of the commodity markets back on their heels a little bit, not just in the grains, but you see a wicked reversal in some of those precious metal markets as well. Just kind of catching their breath. Now, I put out a tweet earlier today kind of joking around about March Madness being somewhat of a holiday trade, but I actually think there's some truth behind it.
Oh, absolutely.
Get past this huge Federal Reserve meeting, and a lot of people got done what they needed to get done, and now they're already, you know, looking forward to a long weekend here almost.
Yeah. It's become more a bigger deal over the years, and it really feels like it's capturing traders' attention this year, no doubt about it. All right, Oliver, good luck, buddy.
The same to you, Chip. Thanks.
All right, Oliver Slope, Blue Line Futures. Coming up next, conversation with Sam Hudson, Corn Belt Marketing, right here on AgriTalk.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now, you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farmincentive to see if you're eligible.
I don't know what you're thinking! So call us at 855-4-TALK-AG and tell us what's on your mind.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad you're with us. Okay, let's get to the conversation here with Sam Hudson, Corn Belt Marketing. Sam, it's good to talk with you again. How are you?
Always a blessing to be with you, Chip. It's a nice spring day here. Looks like we're going to get pretty much the same weather forecast for the next 2 weeks every single day. A little chance of rain, upper 50s, lower 30s, and I guess that's it. So
Yeah, we're sitting up here on what looks like it's going to be the south edge of snows starting tonight going into tomorrow morning. So I don't know. We're supposed to get somewhere around anywhere from 1 to 2 inches of snow in my immediate area. But further north of us, they're looking at some heavier snows, no doubt about it. Spring is here, but it just is going, or it's coming in kicking and screaming is what it kind of looks like.
Well, we got a GM snowmobile season in real quick, I think it looks like.
No doubt. So, fan of the tournament?
I am. And like you, I'm 0-2, so I don't know why.
It's because you can be 0-2 and still laugh about it.
I guess so.
That's part of what makes it fun. All right. I wanted to jump right into the conversation here with you, Sam, just simply because I don't want to talk too much about what I think is going on in these markets. I want your impressions of we've got what feels like a real rally going in beans. Corn isn't that far behind as far as feeling like we've got something legitimate going. What's behind these markets right now?
Well, the first thing I would say is it's probably pretty easy to catch that feeling after 6 months of pretty much the straight opposite. I mean, this is the first time in several months we've had any sort of positive technical picture. And you know, now it's leading right up to, you know, a key quarterly number from USDA and obviously the acreage figure. And so, you know, I look at it as a little bit of the market taking a breath. You know, when you reverse back here a few weeks ago with that March contract going off the board, there was a lot of flushing going on, a lot of cash flow needs that were coming ahead, and simply nothing in the headlines to help, you know, turn prices around. So obviously, fundamentally, we're kind of thrown into this bearish conjecture, but we still have another crop cycle coming. We've been pricing in the South American crop for several months, and now it's time for us to think about getting to the field again. And really, I think it's just, you know, again, the market taking a breath right before we reset the table again. And, you know, that probably brings out a little bit of a Y in the road, I think, in the spring here.
Okay. The fundamentals that we think we know right now, and I'm asking you this because I know you watch the commitment of traders and trying to understand exactly how the positioning of the different players in the market might influence price action going forward. But the fundamentals of the market, do they matter between now and the end of the month when we get that prospective plantings report?
Probably not a whole heck of a lot, save for some of the short-term intraday stuff. Like you guys mentioned and touched on yesterday after the Fed meeting, you know, at a sharply lower dollar, you had some short covering, some positive technical aspects, and get into the overnight session with a little bit lower volume, and it's easier to push things around. And obviously today we see that fade away, you know, here today, gone tomorrow. And I think that the market has kind of felt sort of desperate to find kind of the high and low watermarks, I think, ahead of this report. Yep. But we're still not seeing nearly the volume in terms of selling on that cash side as what we saw back in March. We're seeing steady movement. But again, it's just not with that same fervor. And so I think everyone's looking at this with cautious optimism. What's funny, though, is, you know, despite a, you know, 80 to 90 cent rally off the low in soybeans and, you know, pretty good chunk, you know, off the low in corn, 30 plus cents, 35 cents off low in corn, it's still it's kind of categorized as not enough even after the hangover from last year.
Yeah. And Sam, that's what bothers me is it's because leading up to this price recovery that we had, the question that I kept asking analysts on AgriTalk was, do we need to rethink what a rally is in corn and soybeans this year? Because normally a $1, $1.50 in corn and in beans at this time of the year, 70, 80 cents in corn kind of happens.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
This year, not so much. I don't know.
I think so. I mean, unless it's a dramatic shift. And the problem you have with these markets is you've got these supply buffers in place, right? We've got, you know, 200 to 400 or even 500 million bushels of corn that you could almost, you know, erase off the balance sheet and still be okay before we've got to really flip the script, you know, over again. And soybeans, you know, you're kind of getting to that point too with another South American crop on the doorstep. And I think when you look at their port prices, that's probably more important than anything. You know, we talk about the funds and the short covering and all this, or the short covering potential. We have seen a little bit of that, but if you look at open interest, it's rising. And so you're looking at some bottom picking, some new buying coming into the market. The question is which one of those two are going to have staying power based on what we have coming down the pipe. I don't think an acreage report in itself, Chip, can really change anything, because the USDA is going to assume normal weather. And with that, I mean, would we have 178 plus million acres last year? I would expect probably a 2 to 3% drop. I think historically that's pretty fair, but you know, you're still banging on the door of, you know, 177 million acres probably. And I don't care how you split it. You know, really the quickest way to even create a story is probably in beans. If you print a number, you know, 85 to 85 and a half or under that, all of a sudden you probably have a talking point. But that's okay. The case. Corn is probably still fair at 450.
Okay. All right. That's kind of answers the question that I wanted to ask next. And that is, what keeps the move to the upside in corn and soybeans going?
Well, I think it's got to be led by one or the other. And to me, I look at soybeans. When you look at the bean corn ratio, you know, again, it's easier to get sensitive there faster. What does it take in corn to get a bullish number on acreage alone? I mean, you have to print sub 89 million. I don't think there's anyone out here that thinks that's even really possible at this point, unless we have a wet spring. It is possible in beans. It's quite possible we get a negative number in both of them, because it serves as a reminder on black and white that we've got ample carryouts.
Yeah.
You know, I think, you know, we talk about this snowstorm coming too. You know, you don't love seeing snow this time of year, but for what it's worth, some of the driest areas are being hit right now. And if drought's going to be a talking point, you know, you almost have to wonder at what point on the calendar can it even become that?
Yeah. Okay. So if it does continue, give me a couple of ideas on what the upside potential in corn and beans might be.
I really think this 475 to 505 range, I realize that's kind of a wide range, but as we get into spring, I think it's very likely you see increased volatility. I think that's a place that has really got to hold the market. If you find ourselves trading over that, something's probably awry. And right. To get corn up there, again, you're either going to have to get that low acreage number, you're going to have to get a headline, or you're going to have to get beans rolling. And that's probably the best chance we have of getting corn to $5, at least in the short term, in my opinion, would be you know, taking beans closer to 1250 and again, getting that bean corn ratio, maybe 2.6 to 2.6 and a half before we actually put the crop in, if we feel like it's necessary.
Yeah. Isn't there a chart target up around 1305, 1306?
It is on the front month. And you know, you look at, there's actually some gaps on the chart up there too. I think that's gotta be kind of your automatic thought process, is if we're going to go up, that's probably where we're going to at least seek that out. And from there, even in beans, even if you print low acreage number, it's almost like you're going to have to, you know, get a yield story going to exceed that, unless South America really finishes poorly.
Okay. So get up and start knocking against overhead resistance at $5, same story at $13. What is the conversation between you and your clients going to sound like at that price?
Well, I'm hoping that we'll have done something before then. Even, you know, I view the rally even now as an opportunity to at least start in on this. I was hoping to get D's corn up to 485. I was thinking maybe we could even do that last night for a short while with the way volume was and the way things were going, but didn't quite get there. I would love to have a little bit more hedge ahead of this and love to be wrong, because I think everyone's going to still have a, you know, decent chunk to still price. And I don't think there's enough upside risk in the corn market that you can end up so backwards on it that you're really kicking yourself. So I think that's where I start. Beans, I'm a little bit more hesitant. You know, we'd made some bean sales quite a while ago before, you know, the big demise. And at this point, you know, this 12 to 1240 zone is on new crops, a place I've been looking for. And I think it's a place to start dipping your toe in the water, but things can change there pretty quickly if things don't go correctly.
Okay. Corn demand, export demand specifically. It's good enough now that it's not hurting us, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. We're strong enough now. Our shipments and sales are chugging along. You know, despite the competition in South America, I mean, you look at how much corn has come out of Brazil to China. The fact that we've sold as much as we have is almost surprising. And so I think that's a testament to how things stand going into this next crop cycle. As you mentioned, it doesn't really offer fodder for these thought processes that we got to cut this massive amount of corn demand, at least in the short term. And ethanol is just steadfast right now. So if anything, you know, you get a poor finish to this Farina crop that, you know, they've dropped acres year over year. They still got time to, you know, to clip that. You know, if we got time to still revive our corn export program into late summer late spring into summer, you know, we could even find ourselves increasing corn demand before it's all said and done, but it's going to be a yield factor to really drive price this year.
Okay. Good stuff, Sam. We're in the middle of a conversation with Sam Hudson, Corn Belt Marketing. He said something earlier that I want to get back to. Watch the port prices, not the crop estimates. That is basically the same as maybe we don't have to watch the export sales reports, but let's keep a close eye on basis and follow what basis is telling us. We'll talk about that next.
Let's go to the markets page at profarmer.com and check today's closes. For July, HRW wheat futures were 1¾ cents higher, 575.5. July SRW wheat up 1¾ to 562. May corn futures were 1¾ cents higher at 440¾. December corn futures closed at 476¾. That's up 2 cents today. May soybean futures were 2½ cents higher at 1212. November beans closed at 1204¼. That's up 4 cents today. July cotton, I don't remember what Chip said, but it was higher. April live cattle, 57½ higher, 188.37½. April feeder futures down 30 cents to 254.62½. April lean hog futures were 40 cents lower at 84.90. June hogs down 132.5 to 90.30. Get more at tryprofarmer.com.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farmincentive to see if you're eligible.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. Our name says it all. AgriTalk, what more do you need to know?
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad you're with us. And if you are just east of the Mississippi River, I got a feeling that a lot of you are, you might be looking for something else to watch right now. The Illini just getting ready to tip things off there, Sam. So it's that time. Is that your team?
Do I have time to pick to change it real quick? To change everybody's mind? I don't know. At this point, it doesn't matter for me, I don't think. But yeah, I picked them. I think I got them going to the Elite Eight, actually. So I kind of like the way they've had some momentum lately, and we'll see what they can get done.
Yep. All right. Sam Hudson, Corn Belt Marketing. We're in the middle of the conversation with Sam. So during the break, I was thinking about a couple of things, including let's watch what's going on at the ports rather than the crop estimates. I love that. But
yeah, well,
I do have to ask this. Am I hearing reports that there is too much rain in Argentina now?
Well, it looks like it's a case of the haves and have-nots. I mean, there's a few isolated areas that are getting some torrential rains. And honestly, if you look at it historically, we talk so much about drought in the U.S. and South America every year. It's you know, just a talking point, it seems like, at least in some area or the other. But we lost a lot of bushels historically with wet harvest down there, even more so than drought. So it is definitely something to watch. The breadth and depth of those situations are always the key element. But with their meal program and with where meal's been trading, you look at the chart on meal, it looks like it's put in a low to me. At least maybe we can chase it up to 375 or something again. And if that's the case, it's going to you know, help the bean market even that much more.
Yeah, I was just going to say, if meal wants to participate, that $13 level seems more doable, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And I would also say it almost feels safer to be long meal from here than it does beans, at least for the short term. But that's just my two cents.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I hear you. Okay, so watch the port prices, not the estimates. I love that. What are you looking for that to tell us?
Well, I think, you know, we've all been caught up again in drought talk, whatever, production talk, the discrepancy between USDA and, who, you know, this, that, and the other thing, whatever. Mm-hmm. By the time we actually sort that out, these adjustments have been coming so slow. By the time we sort that out, our weather is going to become more, will become more important, as well as the area that we'll have received by then. So, you know, I think you look at the port prices as a canary in the coal mine. I think they're really going to start to expand harvest here over the next 4 to 6 weeks. One big issue last year with their record crops was storage space. And I think you're going to see a huge preparation on that this year, on this year's crop, to create space so they don't have the overruns, the crop losses and damage from, you know, just dumping stuff on the ground and not having an outlet for it. And so every year they're going to get a little bit more efficient in that sense. And if they can manage those port prices a little bit better, that, you know, maybe they're going to be holding grain off the market and offer some better opportunities for U.S. competition, at least for, you know, 45 to 60 day period until we get our crop in the ground.
Okay. You know, the way that the grain markets traded December, January, February, Sam, they kind of lulled me to sleep and got me thinking that these were just going to be boring, go nowhere markets through the spring of 24. And now I'm not convinced of that. It feels like there's some life and some volatility in the markets.
Yeah, I would say get ready to buckle up. I think one of the big things is, and that's, I think that's really going to be true potentially for the next couple of years, because you're going to be dancing with the supply buffers. And now we're feathering in this biofuel situation, this demand that everyone knows is coming, but no one really knows how quickly, how, you know, when, how, and how much. And so, you know, if you get that train rolling and kind of get some momentum there, you know, anytime you stub your toe on production along the way, that's where you create a heck of a move and an uncertain market that, you know, no one really knows how to peg stocks to usage. So I think that's what we caught coming down the pipe. But until we can eliminate those buffers, it's just going to be tough to really sustain anything, you know, without something extreme taking place.
Yeah. The easiest way to eliminate those buffers, or I shouldn't say the easiest, the quickest. I had this conversation yesterday with Ben Brown from University of Missouri. We both landed on quickest as the best way to say it. Quickest way to get rid of the buffers is some kind of a production problem. I'd rather do it with demand. I'd rather fight and kick and scream and rebuild demand to help pull this market to the upside. It's going to be better for us in the long term, won't it?
It will be. And, you know, unfortunately, it takes longer than anyone wants it to, you know, and that becomes the frustration. And and I agree with you. You know, supply led, you know, problems is the first and biggest opportunity. I've continued to compare this market to 2019 just in market makeup alone. You know, after driving prices down to what, you know, felt like it was just too far, you'd stacked up those fund positions again, and all of a sudden we couldn't get the crop in. But, you know, keep in mind what it took to get that train rolling. I mean, we were planting corn in June. But this, you know, this fund short, I mean, it's almost a third. Actually, it's about a third of the open interest in both corn and beans right now.
Right. Okay. Outside markets, you mentioned them earlier, the weakness in the dollar and so on. Is there anything else out there in those markets and anything that you heard from the Fed about inflation that you can take over to what's going on in the grains?
Well, I continue to worry, you know, my biggest concern here for markets is, and I think the biggest threat to it is really policy in the short term. We're always going to trade the weather factor. It almost doesn't matter what's going on. If you have a big drought, markets are going up no matter what. But the impasse, the delay, because we're in an election year on top of biofuels being used as a political football. I mean, E15 is just a perfect example. you know, that's kind of my concern. And when you get into situations like that, people get left, you know, holding on, hanging on, waiting for more, just like we've seen for the last 6 months. And when you have interest rates, what they're doing, you know, it just starts to cost more, especially on younger producers or the guys that are paying higher cash rent. Yeah. And I think those rates are going to, you know, level off, maybe even go down here year over year. But, you know, long term, I think we're kind of finding out and carving a new norm here. And I think that becomes a risk moving forward with, you know, margins getting pinched and you know, the cost to borrow and inflation on top of it for input costs.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to sharpen up on your marketing in that kind of a scenario, don't you?
You do. And not only on the marketing, but just the input side of things, just continuing reevaluating. I mean, you can't do it once and then say, okay, here's where we're at. And, you know, we'll keep an eye on this throughout the year. It's you constantly, you know, even a couple times a month, even need to be constantly be looking at those, look at actuals and see what it means and defend what you've got.
Right. That's a good point. It's a good point. Okay. So when you think about, and let's stay on the old crop because there's still some old crop stocks out there. We're going to find out at the end of next week just how many old crop stocks were out there as of March 1. But start me off on some old crop marketing. What are some things you want people thinking about?
Well, to me, if you're sitting there with a lot of old crop sitting around, I mean, to me, this is an opportunity here for you. You know, when you look at basis on the cash side of things, at least here in Central Illinois, we haven't seen a total collapse in basis, but we're seeing a lot of reluctance to chase the market into that April, May timeframe. And that's typically one of the better times to market grain because farmers get, you know, busy in the fields and it's just hard to originate. The fact that they're basically waiting to June and saying, hey, you know, it's going to come to us then anyways, to me, you're throwing a lot of stock into a production problem if you're going to be in that situation. Now, you could hit a home run again with the fund shorts. Maybe we grab a 60 cent rally undeservedly because we can't, you know, get it in. But I think you're really gambling there because the risk to the downside after a move off the lows like this is even greater, in my opinion, if you have to roll things back over and you get into the same situation we got in from November to now. And that is waiting, you know, finding a reason to hang on and then, you know, just being disappointed again.
Right. Okay. Now,
so, and new keep, crop. You know, going back to that, the gist of that's not demand led, right? So even if we rally, the basis isn't coming along with it. You know, if you feel like you got to own it on paper, defend against the lightning strike, not against the 20 cent move.
Say that again.
I guess the point was defend against the lightning strike, not the 20 cent move in that situation. But either way, basis is going to be worse if we take off.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Yep. You're exactly right. Exactly right. I at least I think you are. And you do want to watch out for that kind of a move there. Interesting. Okay. Have a conversation with me about new crop marketings. What do you want? Where do you want the focus there?
So same thing there. I mean, we got started early on the corn, you know, glad we did so. You always wish you did more when it's right. But again, 475 to 480, I think is a place to take a look. I'm always interested in, you know, maybe looking at the OTC market or being able to sell some options out there. I would be very measured with that at this point. You know, be careful of going out and doing a bunch of volume just because you can get a premium on it, because volatility could still scream, especially if those fund shorts have to come after it. So make sure you're measured with that until you have a little bit of a better idea on where your crop lies. It may be better to just sell at a little bit of a cheaper price than what you want to and eliminate some of that risk depending on what you've got for crop insurance. I think that's about the only way to handle that at this point. I'd be slower to the punch in beans than corn from here, but that's just my bias here from these prices.
Do you want to be focused primarily on the cash market, or are you looking at some strategies involving futures and options?
To me, it's been more about HTAs for now. You know, I volatility is, you know, relatively low, and that's typically a time frame to look at buy and put options. But I don't love the floors I'm locking in here. You know, and with what we've already got marketed personally, I guess I'm just willing to wait because I think it's a little early to completely wreck the market either. Once we see it's in, I would almost rather buy puts and sell in a lower market, having confidence in what we've got than, you know, doing something preemptively. Because either way, you're going to be married to this situation for 3 or 4 months, which means you're paying for 3 or 4 months of time value.
Yeah, good point. Good point. Well, I got one on the win side, Creighton over Akron.
Oh, I had them. Perfect. We must have, like, filled out the same bracket. We're going to have
We could have. And Morehead State ambushed the Illini. Absolutely ambushed them off from the opening tip, but Illinois has found their footing and they've come roaring back. 13-15 now in that Illinois Morehead State game. So you're looking all right there, bud. So am I.
They're going to have a big second half. Big second half there.
Big second half. Sam, you're the best. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate you.
Hey, thanks for the time.
You bet. That is Sam Hudson, Corn Belt Marketing. All right. Yeah, we spent a little bit of time talking basketball. Much more time talking about what these markets are going to do. Some volatility coming our way for the grain markets, according to Sam's outlook there. Okay, timely message. That is how Davis described it. Coming up from Senator Joni Ernst from Iowa. Looking forward to that. And one last time, let's say before we get there, go Cyclones.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farm incentive to see if you're eligible.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
If the world is your oyster, we've got pearls of wisdom on AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad you're with us. It is National Ag Week, and my guest right now is quick to highlight and celebrate agriculture, U.S. Senator Joni Ernst from Iowa. Senator, welcome back to AgriTalk.
Hey, thanks so much, Chip. I'm glad to be with you.
Yeah, it's important that you are with us because your resolution passed the Senate last night unanimously on creating and recognizing National Women in Ag Day. Why is that so important to you?
Well, it is so important because we have women playing a vital role in every sector of American agriculture. And for far too long, they've always been in the background. And this is a great opportunity during National Ag Week to highlight our women working, whether they're on the farm or on the ranch, or whether they're working in agribusiness. You know, we want to see them out in front, and we want to encourage the next generation of women to lead in agriculture.
You know, that has certainly been working, encouraging that next generation of women and young women in agriculture to come back and be involved in agriculture, because so many of the ag jobs in the state of Iowa in particular, Senator, women are getting those jobs now.
Yes, they are. And so the resolution that was led by me and by my Democratic partner, Tina Smith of Minnesota, we have come together to honor a million women nationwide that are at the forefront of ag. And we have nearly 50,000 of those women in Iowa alone.
Wow. Wow. That's fantastic.
Yeah,
good stuff. Yeah, absolutely. Ag Week. What is your message to farmers in the state of Iowa and across the country?
Well, I'm grateful for all of the Iowans who are contributing so much to our economy and to the world. We know right here in Iowa, we are feeding, fueling, and clothing the world. So just really grateful for all that they do. And we know, and you know this very well, Chip, that ag shapes our way of life in Iowa. We are rich in tradition and heritage, and it all starts right there in the soil.
You bet. You bet. Hey, I want to touch on a couple of issues here, too. We talked this morning with Jeff Cooper from the Renewable Fuels Association, got the details of EPA's tailpipe emissions final rule. It favors EVs over low carbon fuels like ethanol. What is your message? Go past EPA. What's your message to the White House on this issue?
Oh, my gosh. Okay, Mr. Biden. We have to take a good hard look at this, because when we talk about tailpipe emissions, yeah, we get that EVs don't have emissions, not like liquid fuel run cars do. But let's talk about the entire carbon footprint yes. of an electric vehicle. It starts from the time those slaves in Africa, the children that are owned by China, as they are mining in those dirty, filthy, carbon emitting mines. Let's start there and talk about it. And they don't do that. They don't include everything that goes into putting together those enormous heavy batteries for those electric vehicles. They don't include that. So you can tell I get very fired up about this. And I'll go back to the child and slave labor, because that's what China uses to mine all those resources out of the earth for those electric vehicles. Mm-hmm. So I hate it when people that, and it, again, it's a consumer choice, but I hate it when we have some people that drive electric vehicles that think they have the moral authority over everybody else, and yet they're using children and slaves to put together those cars.
Yeah, yeah. If it was an apples to apples comparison between a vehicle running on low carbon fuels like higher blends of ethanol versus EVs, it's got to be done on a level playing field. And you're right, it's not being done there. Probably risking getting you fired up again when I ask about this one. But what can we do? What can lawmakers do? What can farmers do to get the Biden administration more focused on rebuilding ag trade?
Oh, my gosh. Okay, my heart rate just went up again. I am so fed up with this U.S. trade rep, her office, the Biden administration, because they are not engaging like we need them to in foreign trade. So the USDA just came back and they predicted a $30.5 billion ag trade deficit for this current fiscal year. What? Are you kidding me? There is no way. If we were engaging the way we should with other nations and negotiating trade deals, we would not have this ag trade deficit. We produce enough in our country that we should be exporting excess for other countries. And I'm a huge advocate for reducing various trade barriers for our products in markets abroad. But anytime I talk to the U.S. trade rep, Catherine Tai, all she will do is say, oh, well, you know, I'll take a look at that. She will never commit to anything. And I think it's about a year ago or so, she said, you will not see any new trade deals in this first Biden administration. So I think she's thinking there will be a second administration, but that doesn't cut the mustard. We've got to get our ag products exported out of the country and supporting some of these other nations that truly do need our pork, our beef, our eggs, you know, our soy, you name it. We can export it, and we should.
Yep. Since the second hour of AgriTalk is very focused on the markets, I'm going to leave the conversation there, but I'm going to ask you for this. Can I get a Go Cyclones?
Yes, Go Cyclones. Just knock it out of the park. And I'll give you a hint with my brackets, both men's and women's. It's Iowa State.
I love it. All right, Senator, thank you so much for the time. We sure appreciate it.
You betcha. Have a great day.
You too. Thank you for listening today. Come back tomorrow morning. We got the free-for-all coming your way. And tomorrow afternoon, Jamie Kowacki, Paragon Investments, here on AgriTalk.